Finally, it is the news, according to me. Well, good morning once again. We had some issues yesterday, some technical issues with the afternoon show. And I'm still not showing any output of sound. And there's no explanation here of whether or not Firefox is sharing my microphone. I thought the problem yesterday was my computer, and now I'm beginning to think maybe, possibly, potentially, it could actually be the Firefox thing. And so if any of you are having problems hearing me, please let me know. I'm going to type that into the message box right now. There you go. Now, there. Music's over. It's time to find out what's in my cup. So I have, this morning I have some sweet tea, hot tea, Lipton tea with sugar and honey, and a splash of liquefied coconut oil. That's kind of been my go-to thing here lately in the mornings. It does have a tendency to make my throat feel a little bit better. It gives me that smooth, silky, you know, I don't know if I've got a smooth, silky voice necessarily. It's just more kind of a rough voice in the morning. I'd be a good character as a dog, cartoon dog, probably. Mr. McGruff. Yeah, that would be good. So, I don't know if this is working or not. Normally, there's a little bar down here at the bottom, and it's you know, it kind of lets me know whether things are working or not. So right now it's not saying anything about anything working. So if I'm not working, if it's not working, in fact, you know, there should be a way to monitor this thing. You would think in this day and age, I could probably find a way to monitor it. I'm obviously doing something because I am recording the show as well at the same time. I'm recording the show on my own system here, just so I have a backup. And let's see if there's anything else here. I don't know if I can. Podcast. Channels. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So distracting. Sorry for all the confusion, folks. Let's just jump right into it this morning. The issue this morning is one of, it's a pretty, you know, it's a hot topic in the country. It's a difficult subject. And of course, me being the person that I am, because of I was born with a certain skin color, makes it difficult to have any kind of, a modicum of objective discussion with anyone because of the fact that we're, you know, right now, those who get involved and get engaged in this kind of a conversation have a tendency to dismiss me because of my color. And that's unfortunate, because we could actually have a real conversation if people would not be so bigoted about that. So, now my understanding is, you know, of course you can't be racist. The term, you know, there's a YouTube channel called Mr. Reagan this morning. It has kind of inspired me this morning to dive into this subject this morning, because he was sharing some pretty good information. Now his name is not Reagan, and he just basically his channel is called Mr. Reagan on YouTube because he is a Reagan Republican. He would consider himself a Reagan Republican. And he does an excellent job of putting together logic and some things like that. And he's kind of entertaining. He's kind of a tongue-in-cheek type humor guy. He also has a comedy channel on YouTube. I haven't seen it. I've seen some of his characters because he used to do some of his comedy routines on the Mr. Reagan channel, and then he started his own channel doing something else. But I kind of know where he goes with some of that. He kind of uses absurdity in his humor, and he'll portray a leftist, or he'll do something like that. And so this kind of thing is pretty pervasive in our society now. And it has become, of course, the charged issue, the hot topic. And when I mean hot topic, I mean it can cause people to really go off the deep end. And it has become how do I say this? It's a frustrating conversation to have with some people. And there was a young man recently stood before a school board, and I won't replay the thing. If you can find it on YouTube, 9-year-old girl, another young man, and a couple students got up and spoke and did a fine job of reading a speech that was prepared by themselves, probably, or help from their parents, which is fine. I believe the children were speaking passionately and articulately and accurately about their own experience and their own feelings. Now, how they have come to their conclusions, you could say, well, their parents influenced them into that. Of course they did. That's called good parenting. You're just going to put your child out in the barn, take them out some food and just let them kind of grow up and develop their own opinions out there. I guarantee you what kind of opinions they're going to develop about you if you do that to them. And sometimes having kids speak isn't the best idea. However, this was it was pretty telling. And the one young man made a statement that I think is kind of crystallizes what's happening in the country right now. Martin Luther King Jr. Is now being written off. You don't hear many of his quotes anymore from the people on the left and the leftists and the BLM crowd. They really don't like Martin Luther King. And there is he was not necessarily a Republican, but he was an old school Democrat. He still believed in liberty and the rights of the individual. And that came out, I think, in the one statement that he made that's probably one of his most popular ones, that he has his I Have a Dream speech. That one day we will not be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. And I think that statement alone flies in the face of everything that's going on right now with the leftists and what they're saying. Because they base everything on skin color, on race. They're constantly, race is in your face all the time. It's not about the qualifications you have for a job. It's about whether or not your skin color qualifies you for the position, or your gender, or lack thereof. And this has just become ridiculous. It's just nuts. And people on the right, at least for me, I think most Americans feel like we want the best person for the job in the job. We don't care what color your skin is, what your race is, or what, you know, how, what you do. We care about the job performance. Now, do we want to hang out with you and have a cheeseburger after, you know, whatever it is you're doing? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. It all depends on your character there again. That's the kind of person you are, not necessarily your skills. Just because you're, you know, a great bus driver doesn't mean I want to hang out with you after you get me to my destination. Because I might just think you're creepy, regardless of what color your skin is. Or we just, you know, just have a different sense of humor, or maybe, I don't know, you know. So, now that doesn't mean I won't hang out with you. It just means maybe I don't want to. If I have something else, you know, there are things I'd rather be doing, but that's part of life. You can't just do what you want to do all the time. So we have these issues with this young man who got up there and said some things that I think in my conversations that I'm having with people around the country, I think that this is probably becoming more and more prevalent, and unfortunately more and more part of our culture. And it's a sad regression from where we were. And that is that people are starting to actually look at other people more now with the prism of race being a part of it. And I'm finding it to be the case in my own life. I assume that when I see a person of color, I assume that they are what the news and the media and the academia world tells me that they are. And unfortunately, that what they're telling me they are is a hater of white people. Just all kinds of things. And this is coming from the left. And that somehow I am their enemy. And I am the reason for all their problems. And even just using the word, the term there, they and them and theirs seems to be a segregative, is that even a word? A segregational, it segregates people, us and them kind of mentality. In a world where I used to look at people, it didn't care what color your skin was. I would look at you and wonder what God was doing in your life. Where is he meeting you today? Where, you know, what are the challenges you're facing and the things that you're having to deal with? And how is he bringing you through those things? And how can I be his hands and feet in your life? That's the way I used to look at people, regardless of what your skin color was. Whatever your experience was, because God meets us where we are. He doesn't wait for us to get right, meet his standard, and then he comes and talks to us. While we were yet sinners, separated, living as ungodly as you can imagine, Christ died for us. He made the first move. We love him because he loved us first. And in the midst of that, he meets us where we are. That's what I'm saying. I said this discussion with some friends last night. And if you're in that position where, you know, if each of us as a, in the church, as believers, even just as human beings, whether you believe in God or not, put yourself in that position of, how can I help those around me? And sometimes it doesn't mean giving them money. Sometimes it doesn't mean doing things for them. Maybe sometimes that means stop doing things for somebody. Stop giving them money. Stop enabling them in their problems. It's not a matter of, you know, there's not a cut and dry rule for what you have to do to help somebody. Sometimes it's doing something. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's saying something, and sometimes it's just being there or not being there because you're annoying. No, not because you're annoying. Well, sometimes you are, but it's sometimes they just need their time, their space, that moment alone. And sometimes they don't. But you know, we wrestle through those things together, not because, well, I'm white, so if I say something to you, that means I'm you know, down talking to you. That's sometimes perceived, you know, there's a thing called that they like to put on us sometimes, on the white race, the white people that are in the human race, that they have an implicit bias. That's a big word. That's a big thing, buzzword thing going around in academia right now. Implicit bias. In other words, you don't even know you have bias. It's bias that you don't even know you have. And this is all part of self-awareness and understanding that, yeah, sure, I'm sure I have biases that I'm unaware of or that I don't want to admit to. This kind of self-deception kind of thing that happens sometimes with us. However, this whole putting that on one race, well, you have implicit bias because you're white. Oh, and you don't because you're a minority, you're a person of color, you have different skin color, so therefore you can't have implicit bias. Well, no, because I have no institutional power. I'm the oppressed one. I'm the underdog. I can't do anything wrong. I can't be a bad person. I can't have any kind of traits that are like you filthy white people. That's the way it comes across. I'm going to challenge a couple things this morning. And this is not an easy discussion. And I know that there's so many, everything I'm saying, I feel like there's this rabbit hole we could go down on everything that I'm saying. And it would be worth discussing every bit of it. It would be worth discussing. And I'm hitting on the top of the subject here on so many subjects as I kind of pedal through this whole thing, muddle through it. This young man, he said, now I look at everyone. I said, I didn't used to look at everyone and I didn't care about their race. In other words, he just judged them on the content of their character, whether he wanted to be friends with them or not. He didn't. He had friends that were Asian and black and everything else in school. And now he feels like they're being divided up into groups, that one is more virtuous than another. And that he's the enemy. And it's making him feel incredibly uncomfortable in class because of he's being blamed for all the woes of someone else's ancestors. This is, I think, the statement that is rising to the top, I think, of many of the hearts of people in the country right now. And I'm not sure how to reverse this trend. Now, I've said this before, I probably haven't said it enough. But I don't really see any way through this or out of this other than people of color standing up against this. And I'm first talking to the leaders in the community, the pastors, the community leaders, community organizers, the school board leaders. If you are a person of color in one of those positions, as a mayor, as a governor, not even sure if there are any governors right now. There's interesting statistic. There's been very few black governors in our nation. Not sure why that is. A lot of senators, a lot of congressmen, a lot of mayors. Big cities, even, in fact. So, I think one of the first black mayors was in Massachusetts, I believe. About 20 years ago. So, I think. I don't know for sure. I'd have to look that up and find out for sure. The, did I say governor or did I say mayor? I meant governor. So, we have this rising emotion, this rising thought, philosophy, culture, idea, philosophy, I guess, would be the only precept that is rising up within our hearts in this nation. It's pitting us against each other. And at some point, the movement of MLB, MLK, sorry, MLB, MLK, has been hijacked. Like I said, they don't want to use his quotes anymore. They want to move on from that. Well, if he were alive today, he would be a part of this, the BLM movement. I don't think he would. Not if he was true to his principles from the past. In fact, he condemned violence. There were other groups out there that were pushing for violence and violent revolt. They were definitely Marxists with Marxist ideology. And this has been now manifest in the BLM movement, in my opinion. One of the things that Reagan, Mr. Reagan, on his show today pointed out was he went to the definition of what a terrorist is, what terrorism is. BLM has an agenda to influence political opinion. And they are doing that in a very powerful way. And it's the use of fear and violence, intimidation, to influence government policy and government and politics. That is the definition of terrorism, one of the basic definitions of it. And we see that. We've seen that over the last year and a half, especially since the George Floyd thing. But it's been festering for a while. But the last year has shown, the last 12 months, 13 months, have shown that in a powerful way. And yet Christopher Wray, when asked about the greatest threat to our nation, which was an obviously scripted event. I don't know if any of you have seen the question where he was asked about what's the biggest danger, what's the biggest threat to our nation right now in terms of violence and crime? White supremacy. White supremacists are the biggest fear, biggest danger. So how many black people, how many people of color have been killed in the last year by white supremacists? Tell me that. Of course, now they've changed the definition of a white supremacist now as well. Radical white supremacist groups. I just saw an article recently, it had a thumbnail in front of it. Radical white supremacist groups. Because Merrick Garland came out and said the same thing. He echoed the same thing. White supremacy is the greatest threat to our nation right now. Terrorist threat to our nation right now. When was the last time you saw or heard about a white supremacist driving an airplane into a building, killing 3,000 people? When was the last time you heard about a white supremacist causing $1.2 billion worth of damage within 6 months? When was the last time you heard of a white supremacist try to drive through a police barricade and get out and stab a couple of police officers, killing one and severely injuring another? You see this narrative. They keep saying it, and yet the way they say it, you would think that we would be hearing about it in the news every night. It's not what we hear about in the news every night. And I guarantee you, if it was happening, we would be hearing about it in the news every night. We hear on the news about a Ku Klux Klan meeting that was happening on a college campus. It made national news. It scared and terrified a group of students when they heard the news that was happening on their campus up in this one building. When they investigated the room where this Ku Klux Klan meeting happened, they found covers on the microscopes. These little white covers on microscopes in the room. This lady could barely see through the window up, it was like two stories up. She saw the peaks of these little covers and she thought they were Ku Klux Klan members. Because, you know, there's a white supremacist behind every bush. I don't know about you, but after 9/11, being in the occupation I was at the time, I was an airline pilot. I had a tendency to look very closely at every passenger. I was one of the first pilots in the air after the attack. And I guarantee you, I was watching everybody. I was suspicious of everything and everyone. And there was no way I was letting anything happen on my airplane. But that's because of the emotional charge of the moment. Now, that subsided after some time. And trust began to follow up after a while. When you saw passengers stepping up and helping. And they would act unruly. That's a whole other subject. This idea that's being gaslit, in my opinion, we are being gaslit by this talk. And now, of course, they go right from there into gun crime, and we've got to stop You've got to put they're going after people who are federal firearms licensed. Shady gun dealers, they'll say. Shady gun dealers. Biden said it himself the other day in a mumbling speech that he didn't know what hard to understand what he was talking about. Saying something about these shady gun dealers. We're going after these shady gun dealers. If they break any laws, we're taking their federal permit away. And now, the way he said it and the way it's being interpreted, I take that to mean if they get a speeding ticket, they're getting their license taken away. I would not be surprised if that's where it goes. The thumbnail that I saw the other day, I was getting back to that. The thumbnail that I saw the other day when they were talking about the white supremacy, you know, Merrick Garland talks about white supremacy being, what are we going to do about the rise of white supremacists in our nation? And they showed, guess what they showed? Guess what the picture was that they had plastered up there as a thumbnail for this article? January 6th, people standing on the Capitol steps waving flags. Waving American flags. Those are the radical supremacists that they want to tie to this narrative. Now, I'm telling you, whether you're a Trump supporter or not, whether you are a leftist or on the right, this should say something to you. If you're a moderate, not a radical leftist, but a Democrat, a JFK Democrat, we'll call it, old school Democrat, who still believes in individual rights and liberties. If you are an establishment Republican who thinks that big government and more control is a good thing and more spending is a good thing, you still want to hide behind the skirt of the conservative label. This should alarm you. No one should be on the side of this kind of propaganda. And that's exactly what it is. It's propaganda and gaslighting. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Attorney General Garland is a very dangerous man. He is an extreme puppet of the left. In fact, I would say he is probably deeply entrenched in leftist ideology. They were going to put him on the Supreme Court for a reason. And now, by de facto, he's going to act as a Supreme Court instigator, so to speak. He will look at laws and decide what he's going to go after and what he's not. The voting laws that people are passing in states, he's going to go after those. When have you heard of an attorney general going after states for their voting laws? He's trying to act like a Supreme Court judge with a badge. That's the only way I know to describe him right now. And I'm telling you, he's got a vendetta, and he has a vindictive agenda that I think we will find that it will be very dangerous for our nation. There's no objectivity. There's no blind justice here. This is absolutely something that they are putting in place to make all the plans work. Now, I'm just reminded lately, I wish I could find the video clip of this. And I know you guys can't see the video, but if I wish I could find it, I would put the link in the show. There is a Senate hearing. Is it Senate? Or was it the house? I believe it was the house, actually. It was Jerry Nadler. I believe he's a congressman. Not a senator. And he was recently presiding over the House, a House committee, I guess it was. It wasn't the House, the general session. And he's the lead committee guy. He has become so incompetent and inept just in being able to function that he was at the chair. He was sitting there at the chair, had the gavel next to him. He was trying to conduct a meeting. Now, he understands the rules of the meeting. He's done it a million times. He can do it in his sleep, obviously, because he was practically sleeping during this whole thing. Now, I don't know if it was the medication he was on. I don't know if it was he didn't get enough sleep the night before. I don't know what was going on with him. But this has been typical. He's got a lot of medical problems. A lot of medical issues. And I don't know that because I've seen his medical records. I only know that because I can look at the guy and I know. This guy's got issues. To get to be his age, doing what he's doing, as overweight as he is, he's got some issues. And I'm not saying that disqualifies him. All I'm saying is, what I saw, regardless of his medical issues, what I saw was absolutely atrocious. There were two people standing around him. One of them sitting behind. Now, this is, you know, during the age of masks. Everybody's wearing masks back in the day. This was earlier this year. And this guy sitting behind him was sitting there like an umpire. And he kept jumping up out of his chair and he would talk into his ear behind him. And of course, he had a mask on, so you couldn't really tell what he was saying. And it didn't even look like he was talking because he would just jump up and kind of say something. And he was back there behind him and he was speaking. You could see his jaw moving as well. And he could tell that he was speaking. He was saying, he wasn't just breathing back there. He was saying something. There was another guy to Jerry's right who was also talking to him and telling him what to do. It became very obvious at one point when he actually reached over and told Jerry to, he used his hand and motioned up and down, pointed at the gavel and told him to smack the gavel on the little thing there. Little clacker. He wasn't even doing anything. He wasn't even functioning without these two people telling him what to do and say. Now, there have been a couple of situations now recently with the former vice president, who's now in the office. And he has made long pauses. People will ask him a question. He starts to kind of stammer around and stumble around. And he'll make this long pause and stare. And then all of a sudden, the answer is, I don't know if you heard that, when he was talking about Putin, he was asked some questions about Putin. And he came back with this response. And it was, there is a certain kind of look a person gets when they're listening to someone talk to them. When they're focused on something that someone is saying. Telling them what to say. He had that look. And I would almost bet all of the Bitcoin I own that he was being talked to in his earpiece. It just looked like it to me. I would not be surprised. So the competency of these people who are in charge right now, and of course the, I'm not even going to get into the hypocrisy. There's so many people are, oh, look, they said this then and they're saying this now. Oh, look, what they say this yesterday, but now they're saying this about this person, or they said this about Trump and they're not going to say it about Biden. Again, I have to say, it's fine to point out the hypocrisy on the left or the right or anybody that's doing hypocrisy. That's fine. However, keep in mind, and this is something that we need to really understand, that on the left, there is only one principle by which they live. The end justifies the means. The end justifies the means. They don't care about their hypocrisy. And they don't really even believe in absolute truth. These are people who are, the people in academia today say there are absolutely no absolutes. There are no absolutes. Okay, is that an absolute statement? Yes, it is. Okay, so you just contradicted yourself. And the point is that they don't care what they said yesterday. What they care about is what's in the emotional moment right at the moment now. And their ability to sway people or to say that get the right soundbite for what they need for their point right now. This was very evident recently. I'm just going to bring this up because this brings us back to the issue of race again. There was a panel on a, it's like a news talk show type thing. I think it was on MSNBC, I believe. There's a couple of women discussing some things, and they were going back and forth. And one of the things that they were talking about was how how I want to put this all together so that it's, so I get it accurate. Oh, it had to do with the Hamilton play. The guy who wrote that, or the guy who put that together, it was a very successful play show that was going on for many years. So is this show that I guess the big thing about the show was that all the founding fathers were portrayed by people who were not white. And that was one of the show's, this play's points, I guess. Now, I don't know anything about it. I don't know. I never saw it. I have never even, I really don't even know what it's about. I assume it's about Hamilton. And I'm sure it has some kind of political agenda behind it. However, the same writer recently came up with another show or a movie or whatever he's doing. I don't know if it's kind of, I think it's putting together a movie, we understand, on the production of this thing. And in the process of putting this together, he's portraying some oppressed people, I believe, in New York, in this one area, or maybe it was Connecticut. I don't know where it was. Someplace on the East Coast, where this group of people were oppressed, and everybody in this play is people of color. They're all African American, I guess. I believe most of them, almost all of them, and the argument now and the big, now he's under fire now because of this from the left. Because apparently the group of people that they're depicting are not actually African Americans. They're Cuban Americans or some, like they're South Americans or I don't know, an island of some kind. I'm not sure. something other than African American folks that were there. There were people of color, but not African Americans. They were some kind of other ethnicity, ethnos. And he's in big trouble now because he didn't portray them properly, because he didn't put the right people in there to depict those, who those people are. It's kind of like, you know, portraying the founding fathers as people who aren't white, isn't it? The thing he was lauded for. And the only difference we see here is one group is white, the other group was not. And they were going on about, and they were talking about this in this little show and saying how terrible it was for him to not depict the people properly in this movie. That it was wrong of him to do that. That's why he's, you know, it's appropriating the wrong people or whatever. So, again, this is the hypocrisy that we hear about, and it's the hypocrisy that, in my opinion, is absolutely worthless to even bring up. That's why I'm bringing it up. I'm bringing up the principle of actually trying to call them out on their hypocrisy, because it won't get you anywhere. They don't care. It's like next subject. They don't care. We got our job done. Harry Reid, during the 2012 election season cycle, came out with a statement on the Senate floor. Word has it, Mitt Romney hasn't paid his taxes for the last 10 years. Or 12 years, or whatever he said. Now, he had nothing to back that up. It wasn't anything. He just came out with that statement, knowing it would damage him. A fellow Mormon, Harry Reid, with his fellow Mormon friend, Mitt Romney. Lying about his fellow Mormon there. When confronted about that later on, Harry Reid, by the way, was also having a lot of mental issues at the end there. But when he was confronted about this statement that he made, he said, "You came out and said that he hadn't paid his taxes, and he actually had. What do you have to say about that?" Well, he didn't win, did he? See, because the end justified the means. That's a prime example. It's a perfect example of how they act. The end justified the means. I didn't care if I had to lie about him because I got the job done. I didn't care if I slandered the guy. You see, it's one thing to lie. It's a whole other thing to lie in a way that demeans or depicts or slanders someone else. When Rahab lied about the spies, she was honored forever for that, because she was protecting life. When you lie to demean and degrade and ruin someone's life, in fact, the life of the entire country was changed, theoretically or potentially. It was deceptive and self-serving. Rahab could have been killed if she'd have been found out for lying. So, this is where we're at. And these people are now in charge. And the grassroots is beginning to start to stand up about this, against this thing. But you have to understand, we have an incredible uphill battle here. Because the news media is not our friend. I would even venture to say that Fox News is really kind of a middle road news media organization. It is not necessarily a conservative. They allow the conservative voice on their show. But I would not say that they are necessarily a conservative. I would say they're more of an establishment Republican organization that allows for a lot of voices. But even the commentators, I have a hard time sometimes accepting as being genuine. There seems like there's some phoniness there. It's just my gut feeling. And I won't mention any names. And I really won't this time. I won't even say what they rhyme with. But there are a few that are very popular among Christians and those on the right. But I still can't get over this gut feeling I have that I just don't trust them that far. Sometimes because of the guests that they have on all the time. Their willingness to bend over backwards because of the influence or the special guests that they can acquire that if they don't go too far. So that's where I'm at. It's my opinion. First of all, as I conclude the show here, I want to kind of mention a couple things. One is I've been trying to do some live broadcasting, and now I'm having issues all over the place all of a sudden, all at once. I may be doing the live broadcast from my phone because it may actually work better. My computer system here, I have a Rodecaster Pro. And I'm trying to live stream through Podbean. Now, I did a live stream the other day, and it seemed to work. Sort of. And I've done a couple of them, and they seem to work fine. I am now doing some live streams. And I'm having issues with microphones. Now, the only microphone I have is the output from my Rodecaster. I can plug up four microphones to this thing. And I'm supposed to be able to play and do all kinds of things. You know, anything I can input into this Rodecaster, I should be able to output. It just outputs as the microphone. It's just one channel. It goes to my computer. But for some reason, now it works fine in my DAW. Right now I'm recording to my Logic Pro right now. It's recording just fine. But when I try to broadcast through the web browser, onto Podbean. I did a show yesterday, and in the middle of it, somebody texted and they said they're not hearing anything. And I wonder because I wasn't seeing any kind of indicator. There's no meter or anything on the web page to find out what your settings are doing. It's impossible to know. And there's a little microphone with a little thing down below, and it's get this little green thing that bounces around occasionally, but it doesn't. You can't really tell what it's doing for sure. So I need to develop a way to monitor what's going on actually physically online through a different account probably. And to know what's, because if I log in my phone, and then all of a sudden it tells me I'm broadcasting through my phone. Which is fine, I can do that if I need to. So that's where I'm at with this thing, and it's very frustrating. Now, my computer at the office, my main studio computer, has an issue because there's an update. I told you about the upload thing. I think I talked about in yesterday's show about how if you upgrade to Big Sur, there's a glitch where if you can have enough open memory on your hard drive that it will not trigger the not enough storage to do the upgrade, but it doesn't have enough to do the upgrade. And so when you start the upgrade, then it runs out of memory and it stops and it loops and it gives you this message and you can't get out of it without doing some major, jumping through some major hoops to get things changed. There's a lot of different ways to do it, but basically the best way to do it is to hook up another computer to your computer Of course, you have to have the right kind of connections in order to do that. And when you got a 2015 laptop and you got a 2017, whatever, iMac, and you got these different connections because you got Thunderbolt C, you got USB-C, and you've got the old Thunderbolt, the actual little, it looks like a graphics plug. You have to go from that to this, and you got all these adapters, and it's going to cost you $100. But of course, that's better than losing all your data. So that's the only other option, is to wipe the whole thing clean and start over again. That ain't going to happen. Unless you did a time machine thing, or did a, which I should have done. I should have backed it up. I should have done some other things. Should have wiped a whole bunch of stuff off there and put it all on my hard drive. But I said I had enough storage. So I thought, well, I'll just upgrade it, get that done, go on my business. Well, that was the wrong thing to do, because now it's stuck. I have no computer there. At the same time that was going on, my laptop started having monitor problems. If I just turn it on normally, it comes up, everything looks normal, and then it goes to a black screen, and it's on, but all I have is a black screen. Unless I open it in safe mode, then everything works fine. Except it's in safe mode, and you can't do some things. But if I plug in an HDMI outport to my HDMI outport, my HDMI out port, and I plug it into a monitor, and I turn it on, everything comes up. Main screen, the monitor screen, I have two screens. Everything works perfectly. But if I unplug the HDMI port, the computer screen goes black again. So there's something going on strange there. I'm not sure what it is. My guess is there's something wrong with a connection inside physically. Because I've tried to reset everything, all the PRAM, the this, that, there, the STM, CP, and all that stuff. I've done all that reset stuff. None of that changed anything. I've even upgraded the operating system on that one. That one's now whatever it is. I don't think it's Big Sur. It's not something else. Whatever it is. Now, what's interesting is my computer at home, the one I have here in the studio right now, has Catalina on it. The computer itself is a late 2013 version. It doesn't have all the some of the fancy connections in there. Now, I did upgrade. I haven't upgraded this one recently. But it has Catalina on it, which seems to work fine with everything I'm doing. Except for this issue, this glitch now that I've got with using Firefox. Now, I should try Safari or something else. And see if I can log into my account and it will give me other options in terms of preferences and those kinds of things for using my microphone to get this live stream thing done. So I tried to live stream yesterday from my laptop at my home studio, and that was not working. And then I started running into all kinds of compatibility problems between the computer and the laptop and the Rodecaster Pro. So at some point, if I get my main computer going back at the home studio, I'm pretty sure that will work just fine, because that seems to have no issues with interface stuff. At least it didn't. Now this one, I don't know. I tried it this morning. I wasn't transmitting at all. So I've been doing some test runs with it, and we'll see how that goes. All that to say this, I'm working on the problem, and hopefully we'll have some live broadcasting going on soon. Now, I have done some live YouTube little widgets where I just put them out to as announcements about the live broadcast. I don't know. It's crazy time here. I got a big job to do today. Should be done by 3 o'clock. So, the old sound booth job. We'll do some quick announcements for an electrical company. Actually, an electrical utility out west. Doing that for them, and get that little script read and recorded for them. I will be on my way back to doing another show this afternoon after I mow the yard. So there you go. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for the discussion, and God bless. Take care. Talk to you this afternoon.